Our verse this morning for our passage this morning for our lesson is Hebrews 9, verse 15, down through verse 18. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. The title of the lesson this morning is For This Cause. For This Cause. Now let's start and let's look at a few terms that are used in this passage and get a little better understanding of them. First, we see a term here that's used a couple of times, and that term is testament. In this passage, the manner in which God's promised salvation is given is compared to what we would call a last will and testament. A last will and testament. In a last will and testament, it's an arrangement that a man makes to ensure that his will is carried out in freely giving his earthly possessions to those he chooses to give them to after his death. And the one who makes his will and makes his will known in his testament is a testator. We see that term here. He's a testator. He's the one that makes the will, the testament. And then that which he gives is called an inheritance. It's an inheritance. And then we see here the words New Testament and the word First Testament. Let me just give you a little word on this. The First Testament is called the first because it was the first testament that God revealed to man. It was the first one in man's estimation that was given, in our estimation. And the first testament stretched from Adam's day until it reached its end in Christ. And God gave the first testament to teach his people our need of a new testament, of the new covenant. Now, there's a word here called the New Testament. And it's called new because this covenant really came before. It came before the First Testament did. The testament here that is called the New Testament is an everlasting testament. It's as everlasting and eternal as God is, as the great I Am is. And when God reveals this testament within his people, he makes all things new. Everything becomes new. The God that we behold, that we once imagined, is not the same God anymore. We behold a new God, the true and living God. And we understand his word with new meaning. It becomes clear to us what this means. And he writes this. He gives this new heart and he writes this new testament, his law upon this heart, and it's what we delight in. This is the testament of God that we delight in. Now, and it's called new also because that first one is old. It's been made old because Christ put an end to it. All right, now let's look here a few problems with that first testament. There was a few problems with it. The first testament was made, as we're looking here at the services and the tabernacle in the wilderness, that first testament was made from God to men through Moses as a go-between. God called Moses up to Mount Sinai, and God gave Moses the first testament. And then Moses came down and he revealed God's will and his testament to the people. But Moses was a sinful man. Moses was a sinner. And Moses himself needed a mediator between him and God. Moses couldn't be the mediator. And therefore Moses couldn't be the one that God would use to join himself with his people. And for this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. He's the mediator of the New Testament. Well, there's another problem. Under the First Testament, God promised that man would live based on conditions. Based on a condition. Men would live as long as they offered God perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed. And if men obeyed every last jot and tittle of his law, every precept that he gave in his law, men would live. And he gave a set of ceremonies also by which men were to worship God, by which men could be cleansed before God when they broke his precepts. But no man could fulfill the requirements of this law under that first covenant, because all are sinners. All are born in trespasses and in sins. There in verse 7, Hebrews 9:7, it says, "Into the second, the holiest of holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." He was a sinner too. And the Holy Ghost signified by this that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. And for this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. He has to be the mediator of the New Testament. Well, there's another problem. Under that First Testament, God's promises were only temporal blessings. That's all they ever promised. An earthly inheritance in Canaan. They promised blessings of plenty and prosperity. Temporal blessings is all they promised. It's all they ever promised. So if a man could have lived honorably before God's law, if a man could obey God's law totally, completely, as holy as God is holy, the best we could ever gain for ourselves would be temporal life. That's it. Temporal life. No eternal life. Look here at verse 14. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God?" He's God and man. He's eternal. And his offering is eternal. And therefore he obtained eternal redemption by that offer. And for this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. Now there's another problem. The ceremonies for cleansing under that First Testament only dealt with outward cleansing. That's all it dealt with. Sinners must be justified and made righteous legally before God. And sinners must also be purged inwardly and given a new spirit joined with Christ, or else we won't be able to worship Christ. And look here, verse 8. Hebrews 8:8. Back up there. "For finding fault with them," not with the law, not with the testament that he gave, not with the covenant, but with the people. There's where the problem lies. "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind. I'll write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews 9, verse 9. It says that this was a figure for the time then present. And it says that the gifts and the sacrifices that were offered could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Couldn't be any inward cleansing. Verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ," skip over there, "purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament." So, you see, there's nothing wrong with the covenant. There was nothing wrong with the testament. The fault was with us. The First Testament was given to show us our need of Christ, the mediator of the New Testament. That's what it says back there in Hebrews 8:6. Now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, there's a necessary means that has to be accomplished for a testament to go into effect, for a will and testament to go into effect. Look here at Hebrews 9 with me. The testator must die. He got to die before a testament goes into effect. Look at verse 16, Hebrews 9:16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, he might accomplish something. The reason blood is vital in Scripture, the reason that blood is vital in Scripture, we can't take blood out of the gospel. We take blood out of the gospel, we got no gospel. Because blood is vital in understanding the work of redemption, because life is in the blood. We lose our blood, we lose our life. As our blood drains from our bodies, our life drains from our bodies. The life's in the blood. Christ had to die in order for those which are called to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. If they're going to receive this inheritance promised by him, he's going to have to die before they can receive it. Hebrews 9:18. Look here. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. That's what was being shown when that first testament was given. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, purified, cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, no remission. There's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, blood of bulls and goats, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. If you look back up there in Hebrews 9:12, it wasn't by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Christ's own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look down at verse 14. Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. That's what we're talking about. There has to be the death of the testator before this testament can be enforced. And he is the testator. He's the one in whom this testament is guaranteed. He's the one in whom this testament is made. Now, what did his death accomplish? What did it accomplish? Well, through death, Christ paid for the transgressions under the first testament. All right, look here at Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant. The transgressions that were under the first testament are the sins of God's elect people from Adam until Christ personally came into this world. And Christ, when it says here, the redemption of the transgressions, by laying down his life, by giving his blood, by offering himself to God, he paid the sin debt. Redemption is a purchase. You redeem something. You purchase it. And he paid the debt. The wages of sin is death. He paid that debt. He died so that his people don't have to die. He did it for them. And he bought his people out of bondage. It's a purchase. Redemption is a purchase. By paying that price, he bought them out of death's grip. He bought them out from under sin's chains. He bought his people. And it says here that this was for the transgressions under the first testament. You have to remember here that the Hebrew writer is writing to those who were of the physical nation of Israel. They had seen the old covenant. They had seen that Old Testament. And they had heard of their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Well, if Christ is the one who purged sins by his death, what about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And he's saying here, that's how they were purged. That's how they were made accepted with God. It wasn't through these carnal offerings. It wasn't through the blood of bulls and goats and calves. Those things were just types and shadows. They were brought into this eternal inheritance by Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the testator, the one who is the testator, whose will it is that his people be with him in glory. And it's through him. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he said, and he saw it and was glad. Sinners have always been saved the same way. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It's talking about the saints in the wilderness, those who were the ones that he would give this inheritance to. To him give all the prophets witness. He's the one that all the prophets spoke about, that through his name, whosoever, before his death or after his death, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, because he bought them. He bought us out from under them. Now, the second thing, through death, Christ ensures that his people shall receive the eternal inheritance he promised by his will and testament. He ensures that his people shall receive the eternal inheritance promised. It's a promise. Look at verse 15, Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. God's testament is sure. God's testament is unbreakable. God's testament is unchangeable. God's promise of life eternal with him shall be given to everyone for whom Christ died. For this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament. Now, Christ, being both God and man in one body, he, before the foundation of the world, in Mount Zion, when there was nothing but God, and we have to understand these things in terms we can understand them. But like we saw with Moses, as a kind of a type there, God gave his will, his purpose. He blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him. He chose who was going to receive his inheritance. He chose who would receive his inheritance. And he told his son, here they are, here's their names. And their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he agreed in that covenant to be made a man, to come in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to give his life through death and die, and buy his people out from under the transgression, the bondage of sin, and bring in an everlasting righteousness for them. And he agreed, the Holy Spirit agreed, that he would take the blood of Christ and purge the conscience, purge the inner man, create a new spirit within. God said, I'll write my law on the new heart that I've given. I'll write my law on the inner man. And Christ, being God and being man, perfect God, perfect man, he's able to receive God's will and testament, and through death meet all the requirements of it as the testator, and come and give it in His Spirit, by the Spirit, to His people. So you see this covenant, this testament, it's made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The ones that receive the inheritance. I guarantee you, men sitting in here right now, if you have a will, if you've made a will out, you didn't ask your children what they wanted. You decided who would get what. And you wrote it down. And that's how it's going to come to pass. That's what God did. This covenant is sure. This new covenant is sure. And this is that New Testament. This is the law He writes on our heart. To see that it's not based on a condition. It's not about temporal blessings. It's about eternity. It's about eternal life. It's an eternal inheritance. And it's based on promise. It's based on promise. Not based on works, based on promise. Jacob's ladder is an example. Jacob's ladder. It reaches from heaven and it reached down to the earth. And Jacob saw angels ascending and descending upon it. Christ is that ladder. He is the mediator between God and men. There's only one, and He is that one. And only He could accomplish this. That first testament was temporary and typical. It's gone. It's over with. It's done. Don't go to it trying to gain acceptance with God. Gain favor with God. Before or after conversion, go to Christ. He's our lawgiver. He's the one in whom the law is also. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The first testament was shrouded in ceremonies and carnal ordinances of law. Christ is the full and clear revelation of mercy and truth. The full and clear revelation of mercy and truth. The first testament was conditional on obedience or disobedience of the people. The covenant of grace is by grace through faith. And for this cause, He's the mediator of the New Testament. You understand that? He's the mediator of the New Testament. All right, I hope that's a blessing.